gun and a holster bit. Right in the upholstery, somewhere right close to me. Just in case the rollers be rolling on the G, my woman.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Parkscope Unprofessional Podcast Hour. My name is Joe. We're on day 7 of our trip, the last day. We are currently outside of Watson,
Illinois,
Mason, Illinois. We are at exit 151 on, what is this highway?
We're on I-57.
I-57.
So we're heading towards I-70, and then I-70 is kind of our final route that takes us to where the car for Joe is parked, and we go about doing everything from there.
Yeah, so let me just see, is the microphone here, or do I need to do up here? I can't tell. Oh, well. So we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
We're using my cell phone today, which is always hard because I don't know where the... Is it, like, down here, the mic, or is it up here? I think it's down here. So
that
we should do this.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That would make sense down here.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll just do it like this, then.
Yeah.
That'll work better.
Yeah.
So, it's been a week.
It's been a week. Been storming through, and, you know, hopefully people out there have enjoyed the podcast and our various updates throughout the week. Yeah, it's been good, man. We're making our way, final approach, we're about 2 hours away from where we're going to be ending the trip, and or at least like splitting off to get home.
Yeah,
because I need to get home. I need to iron. I need to like sleep too. Like, not that I haven't slept, but like tomorrow I have to probably be up at like 5:45
like
or 6 in the morning.
Sleep.
Yeah, yeah. At least like get to sleep at a reasonable hour. You know, good sleep. I'm so gonna be torqued up, like thinking about like my first day at my new job and processing it and getting my ID and taking my sexual harassment courses and
IT security.
Yeah. Like, you know, they're gonna be like, here's how to use Duo. Be like, yeah, I know already. Thanks. I appreciate it. This reminds me, because I need to figure out whether or not my UCSD email still works. They actually gave me one before I worked there. And they probably have sent me a bunch of emails about various things that I've ignored because they don't pay me any money. And but now someone will pay me money, and actually UCSD will probably pay me some cash soon. But anyways, they use Duo, so I'm already familiar with it. Like, I don't need the lesson. I don't need the lesson on Concur. I've already used that. I'm just excited. I'm excited to get out there and get started. And
you had your break.
I've had my break. I'm ready to get back in the employ of somebody and do really good work. Also, Go Blue last night, winning on that last-minute three-pointer.
Yeah, that was incredible.
Amazing.
Holy shit.
Yeah, yeah. It sucks. It's like, we missed it, but we missed it for good reasons, because we were out doing, like, crazy things.
Doing fun things.
Yeah. But yeah, man, I mean, we did a lot, you know? It's, I always think of it, I'm always the kind of guy that thinks about the stuff that I didn't get to do sometimes. More than the stuff that I did do, but like, I'll sit back when I get home and think about like, not just like what I got to add on the coaster count, which is like seven for, you know, March when you live in Michigan is not a bad addition to the count.
Especially when you've been to a lot of places.
Yeah, I've been to all, pretty much everywhere we went to. I've been to Branson, Six Flags Over Texas, and, you know, I have all the big stuff from those places. So we still missed Joker. We didn't even get on that this week. Which is a little bit of a bummer, but yeah, what are you going to do?
Yeah, that would have been my first SNS of that type. Was that SNS or Intimate?
Yeah, it's SNS.
SNS, okay.
Yeah. And, but you know what? Now you have a Six Flags season pass, so we'll just have to go to Great America this year, Chicago, and go on that one, and that'll take care of that for you. But yeah, it's, like, when I actually, like, every time we sit back and talk about it, we're like, oh my God, we did that, and we did that. Also, we did that. That was crazy, we did that. Like, I rode Segways this week.
Yeah.
And we had rolls thrown at our heads.
Yeah.
And we ate In-N-Out, and we rode the Texas Giant, and
we had Raising Cane's.
We had Raising Cane's. We went to a pyramid, and yeah, we went to City Museum. That happened too.
Yeah, we went to City Museum.
I mean, like, give me your five highlights.
Okay, so my five highlights... in no particular order. It may end up being six, because I'm probably going to go through things and go like, sure. Oh, yeah, that too.
It's a Sunday six.
Yeah, the Sunday. Sunday seven.
Sunday seven.
Suck it, Derek.
Yeah, yeah. We got you now, boy.
My joke was always I was going to talk to Len and get the Friday five out, which is one less than six, but one day earlier.
Then I was going to have to move forward to like Wednesday three.
Yeah, well, that's the thing is, like, it's the Tuesday 2 is the only other one that works.
Monday 1. Yeah. Tuesday
so,
2.
Yeah. Yeah, it has to litter. It has to alliter, so alliterate or whatever. So, yeah, the Friday 5 was my joke, which I may have to get for, I may have to do that joke for April Fool's Day. I'll have to talk to Derek about
idea.
That.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And do a parody of it, because that'd be pretty good. So, I think... So far, I mean, definitely City Museum has to be on there.
Yeah.
I think that it's something that I've always known about and heard about and saw in various locations for a long time. And I've always wanted to go, but, you know, it's St. Louis. It's not like I always get out there. So that was super cool to see, and I was super pumped to do that. So that's one. Two, I would definitely say... I mean, Silver Dollar City in general, but... I would probably put Time Traveler and that whole entire day,
yeah,
that whole entire event as another one. I think Silver Dollar City is amazing. It's really fun and cool, and I really enjoyed the park, and it's really unique. But I think just the attraction being new, opening day, all that stuff was definitely number two. Number three, I would put as Outlaw Run. No, Outlaw Run or Texas Giant? I don't know. I would probably just put RMC on that list.
Yeah, RMC.
RMC, Outlaw Run, Texas Giant. That'd be number three. Number four would be going to Turning Point Brewing.
Yeah.
I think that was super cool.
Yeah.
Normally, like, I mean, for theme park people, we usually go to theme parks and run around and stuff. But it was cool that we would be able to go to breweries, too. Because I think also, like, in a way... It's cooler to go to, like, theme parks than buy a brewery shirt in the area than it is to go and buy, like, a Six Flags Over Texas shirt.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean...
It's more socially acceptable. Like, you know, if you have a really cool, like, beer shirt, like, you know, it's just... It doesn't... There's less of an air of shame about, like, yeah, I have this shirt for Stuff for Kids. Like, this stuff's 21 and up, baby. Oh, yeah.
Well, and also, like, you can still say, hey, this was my Six Flags Over Texas trip. We went to this brewery.
Yeah.
So, exactly. Like, you can wear it and be like, yeah, this one's right near Six Flags Over Texas. This one's near Silver Dollar City. This one's near Kings Island. This one's near blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So you can basically kind of pull that angle and that card, which is good. So that's four?
Yeah.
That's four. And then number five, I want to say... is definitely the Bass Pro Shop at Memphis. with an honorable mention, number six, seeing my brother I haven't seen in a long time, my fraternity brother, at Hammer Nail. So that was good to catch up with him and see him and have a good time. So I think that was my top five. So what would be your top five?
So if I'm not going to go with a list. Like, not like it's not a numerical, like, list in order.
Yeah, that wasn't, know? Like, ranked. That was just as we did
there.
It. Yeah.
So I'd say... you know, definitely City Museum is just... City Museum is just one of those super unique things. There's really nothing else like it. And if you've never seen it, if you've never gone to it, like, you're so missing out. It's, like, it alone makes the trip to St. Louis worthwhile.
Good, good news, there's a Beat-Ups right there.
you know, now that we're Six Flags members,
mm-hmm.
like, now there's, like, even more reason to go back to St. Louis again. Because now it's like, okay, we can go to Six Flags, plus go back to City Museum and go, like, on a Saturday night, you know, towards the summertime when the roof is open. It's got the bars. Like, they don't have kids that... I don't think kids get admitted after, like, 5 or 6 o'clock. So, that would be super dope to go do. Go to, you know, all the hipster bars and maybe see a show or go to a baseball game or something there. But, yeah, City Museum, super, super cool. Time Traveler... You know, I mean, that's an obvious one to be able to go there on opening day and kind of hit that as like a last second trip. I mean, that's not normative for sure. And I don't think I've done like an opening day for a coaster like outside of Cedar Point in a long or like, you know, like a home park kind of thing. Like home parks are one thing, like mm-hmm. the park that's nearest to you, you go to for opening day, whatever. Like lots of people do that. I think it's like for non-home parks... It's like this Time Traveler. I was at Twister opening day because I was at Ultimate Preservation Con in 99. Oh, and Speed the Ride. I was actually at Speed the Ride grand opening. That's a true story. In Las Vegas. R.I.P. Speed the Ride.
Yes.
So, you know, freaking really cool to be able to go do that. And I'm also going to put in a number, my third in my top five extended to six. I'm going to say, like, the Branson, just the other Branson attractions. Like, the mini golf at Professor Hecker's Lost Treasure. Freaking really cool course. Really good go-karts. Awesome mountain coasters that we got to go do there. Both of them are really quality, really fun rides. And Lambert's. Like, Lambert's was super great. So all the stuff that we got to do in the Ozark area and Branson was a ton of fun. Number four, I'm going to go with going to bars in Fort Smith, Arkansas.
Yes.
Because it was such a surreal and experience, and the really cheap drinks also. Dirt cheap drinks. And I feel like, I'm sure yesterday in downtown, it was bumping. Like, it was crazy.
We already saw people, they're getting prepared.
Yeah, they were getting ready. Like, I think that was one part of the reason why it was so quiet, is that everyone was just, like, withholding for, like, the day of, like, just ultimate consumption and just going extreme.
Yes.
Like, balls to the wall. And then number five for me has got to be, you know, getting to Six Flags Over Texas, having two really good days around and in the park and riding the crap out of everything. I mean, we rode Texas Giant, I think, like five times, I think, total for the weekdays, which doesn't sound like a lot until you would have seen the crowds and, like, the full parking lot and the rest of it. Mr. Freeze is super fun. Pandemonium, getting to ride Shockwave again. I haven't been on Shockwave in years. God, Shockwave's good. Judge Roy Scream is fun. Finally getting on Yosemite Sam's, which I must have never been on previously, or I don't remember it. And that was super fun. Justice League, for Justice League, but, you know, it's there, whatever. It's a dark ride that I get to check off the list for the country. And then I'm going to say, so that was five, right?
Yeah.
And then number six.
We were doing five, but.
Yeah, we're doing five.
But honorable mention.
Six, yeah, the number six, I'm going to go with, like, Memphis in general and our limited time there being a Hammer and Ale and going to Bass Pro Shops at the Pyramid. And I'd say, like, honorable mentions, going to go with the pretzel over at Sandy Lake. Definitely Turning Point Brewery. All the ridiculous fatty fast food that we ate this week. And basically the teamwork aspect. It's like, okay, like, you're gonna go shower, I'm gonna fill the cooler.
Yeah.
once we would get moving, like, we got to be a little bit of a well-oiled machine in that sense, so that was good. Just, you know, getting stuff clapped out. And that was great. So now I'm happy.
One thing we did miss: Memphis Hick Barbecue.
Oh, yeah. Missouri Hick Barbecue.
Missouri.
Oh, my God. Jesus.
Right?
Yeah, where do I cross off something on that list? Let me move Fort Smith, Arkansas. Well, you know what? I thought of Fort Smith, Arkansas before I thought of Missouri Hick Barbecue. So I guess I'm going to keep that there and put Missouri Hick Barbecue as an honorable mention.
Yeah.
Because I'll probably think more about, like, that 60-year-old woman that was sitting, like, two seats down from Joe grabbing the mic and, like, singing along to, like, I don't even know what that was, like the Verve Pipe or something like that. Though Missouri Hick Barbecue actually may have been the best meal of the entire trip.
Ironically enough, yeah.
Yeah, that and Lambert's were like one and two. And then, you know, we had a bunch of, you know, various things in between that were decent for sure. And actually dinner yesterday at Hammer and Ale mixed in with the appetizer add-on of duck was a pretty solid dinner as well. But yeah, man, Missouri Hick Barbecue.
That was really so good.
That was really, really good. So yeah, we kept our costs pretty well in line too. Lots of cheap hotels that were not garbage. Shout out to my girl that looked real worn, that was smoking her cigarettes by the staircase today.
Yeah, shout out to her
at the Quality Inn. I don't know what you do professionally, but I don't know if that's a profession that you can pay taxes on, but, you know, shout out to you, because obviously, man, yeah, you've had some hard living, girl, so.
Yeah.
Good luck in the future. But honestly, where we were, was the Quality Inn of Charleston, Missouri. I think it's like the same name as like a more notable town somewhere else, but it's in Missouri. It's Charleston, Missouri. Quality Inn in Charleston, Missouri was very good for like $50 with tax. So anytime you can get like a good room for like $50.25, you know, it's not bad. We got good sleep, and alarm clock didn't really work, but that's okay. I got up like 5 minutes before it did, so it's non-thing. And yeah, man, we did a lot. We did many. Oh, yeah, I mentioned the Segways earlier, but the Segways are cool too. Segways. I mean, that was part of like the Branson experience of all the stuff we did at Branson.
Yeah. Well, which is funny about the Segways is that like I haven't ridden one in a long time. Like first time I rode one was at the first robotics competition. It was started by the guy who made it. So like they had like a VIP area because my dad was a VIP, and we rode them in the VIP area like the year they came out, like 2001. So that was cool. Then I rode them like a few times at Epcot for free when Interventions was still a thing. And then we were driving and you saw some lady spill out riding the Segway. And you're like, oh, some lady just fell off the Segway. And I'm like, we have to go do that.
Yeah.
And then Alan's like, okay. So we go do it because we found out like, hey, there's like this 15 minutes for 20 some odd bucks thing.
Yeah, it was like 8 minutes for like $17.99, and then you go to 15 minutes for like $20.99. So obviously they want you to do 15 minutes for whatever reason. So I'm like, all right, whatever, I'll do 15 minutes on this guy. And it was a blast.
Yeah, so yeah, and we talked about that a lot, but yeah, I would love to do a tour, an actual tour. I don't know if Disney has any more Segway tours, but
like they get rid of the Epcot one.
They may have. I remember they used to have one at Fort Wilderness. Actually, they had like an off-roading kind of Segways with giant ass wheels, like
the huge tires.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. It would be dope. I'd love to go do that somewhere because it was super fun. And once I got a hang of it, like the only thing that was weird is like my feet hurt afterwards. Like. And then I just started, like, steering with my crotch.
Yeah.
You know, like, basically just, like thrusting to go forwards and then, like, putting my ass out to go, like, break or go backwards. But then once I did that, like, it took a little bit of the pressure off the feet, plus maybe the insoles or something like that, you know, affected it. But anyways, yeah, freaking so much good stuff.
So what's crazy with the Segways is that everyone said that this is going to be the first, like, the quickest business to $1 billion. Everyone got interested in, like, Steve Jobs and Jeff Bezos and all those guys.
It was funny because, like, well, it was in Wired, and before they officially unveiled it, they were talking about being, like, the thing that completely changed transportation in America.
Yeah, and they would design cities around this. Because I remember that whole entire hype. Like, there was a hype cycle on this thing.
Huge.
And the problem with it is twofold. Is one, it came too early. Like, I think they should have released it, like, 2 or 3 years afterwards. Because remember, this debuted, like, right after 9/11. Yeah. So, it was, like, this and the iPod came out the same year this debuted. The Segway debuted. And everyone thought the Segway was going to be the hit and the iPod was going to be the failure. Yet, look where we are now.
I think my recollection of it was that, like, when it came out on the internet, like, the first reaction everybody had, like, people were thinking that it was going to be, like, self-driving vehicles or podmobiles or basically,
yeah.
Like, or, like, what Elon Musk is doing with that, like, vacuum tube transit.
Yeah.
And then when it just turned out to be, like, a two-wheel scooter, like, everyone was like, it's a scooter. Like, so the future is, like, an electric bike with, like, a gyroscope in it that keeps upright. And, like, a lot of people at that point were turned off. Because I think it was kind of seen as like
dorky.
It's dorky. It's extremely expensive.
Still expensive. Like I was looking, like when they came out, they were like $6,000 to $7,000, and now they're still in the $4,000 to $5,000 range. And even a used one is still $2,000 to $3,000. And another problem was that the technology just wasn't there. Like when they came out, they didn't have lithium ion batteries yet.
Yeah.
So the batteries were like the shitty old school ones that took forever to charge and gave you, excuse me, like 2 hours of ride time. Now they have lithium ion batteries, but even then, like you, like this thing needs something that's not a lithium ion battery. You need something that's going to last for a long time, and they just don't have that yet.
Yeah, and I think just, you know, from a practical perspective, a lot of people were like, it has the same functionality as a bicycle, but at, like, at multiples of the cost, and
without the health benefits.
Without the health benefits, and without, like no matter what, there's a certain level of emissions that you're going to have, no matter how you produce electricity to power this thing. Whereas, like, a bicycle, like, the emissions cost all comes in the initial, like, you know, manufacturing of it. And then afterwards, like, you know, aside from buying more tires for it, like, you're done, like, with that. Like, or maybe, like, getting reflectors or something, you know what I'm saying? But, like, for the most part, like, your emissions cost is done. And you can ride a bicycle as long as you physically are capable of doing so. So if you want to ride for 8 miles or 8 hours a day, you can, you know, as long as, you know, you can deal with the cramps and you have your water and all the rest of it. And it's also less of a liability to get stolen. Like, I don't know how easy it is to steal a Segway. I feel like it'd be really obvious to lose a Segway, but, like, if you get a Segway stolen, like, you lose a $5,000 or $6,000 or $7,000 article versus, like, a bike that you might be able to replace for $200. So I think that those were all the things that kind of played against the Segway. It was never... It is funny to think how big a hype this thing got and how people were able to convince themselves that this was the future. That's a good reminder as to, like, what, like, technologists think of, like, the public, that, like, they see this as being, like, the answer to everybody's needs instead of just, like, bike lanes. You know what I'm saying? Like, that to me is, like, really funny. But still, it was awesome to ride one. I actually would love to have one.
I mean, same with me, but...
I'm a lazy ass. Like, I'd love to take it out and just ride it down the street and take it over to the bar and then just kind of, like, swerve my way back home on my Segway. If the cop asks, I'll be like, oh, I'm still getting used to it.
Yeah.
I'd be like, I've seen you had this for, like, 7 years. Yeah, it's tough, though. It's a challenge. It's a challenge, man. What can I say? Anyways, enough about Segways. Yeah, so the trip's been great. Hopefully you guys out there have been enjoying. I don't think we had any questions.
I think the episode went up too late.
Yeah.
So I don't think we've had a lot of people listen to it, and then people are catching up because we've been doing our episodes, like, every day.
Yeah.
So there's, like, they're catching up because, like, I've been catching up on my podcast this week.
Yeah, there's a lot of content out there.
So I would say, like, everyone just tweet at us if you have any questions, and then we can answer that on a future episode. I'll just kind of collect them all.
Yeah, maybe next week or something. I think we may get another podcast in this week with Alex, who appears on my podcast series frequently, because he's going to be going to Media Day over at King's Dominion for their new RMC, Twisted Timbers. So we're going to have some more hot and heavy coverage for y'all. And try to think.
When does King's Dominion open?
King's Dominion opens for the season. It might actually open this weekend. It's going to open up this weekend, because this weekend is coming up as the 24th, 25th. So this weekend, King's Dominion opens. I think Busch Gardens Williamsburg opens. Long Island Adventureland opens. I think Coney Island in New York either opens this weekend or next weekend. So if you're out in the New York City area, you know, double check the website for the folks at Luna Park. But I think they open up this weekend. Six Flags St. Louis opens this weekend. So a lot of the regional parks in the Mid-South. Carowinds opens this weekend. So a lot of guys are opening up this weekend. You know, in addition to the parks which are already open, like Six Flags Over Texas, Fiesta Texas, Georgia, those guys are all up and running. So, you know, if you're out in those areas, consider getting off the couch this weekend if you're not into basketball. Or if you are into basketball, you know, look to see when the crappy games are or games you don't care about, and dip on out and go hit some rides this weekend, because a lot of stuff is going to be popping.
Yeah, and I think Kings Island opens not this weekend, but the weekend after, actually.
And it's opening, it might be like first weekend of April. It might be.
Yeah, something like that.
It's last weekend of March, and that's really cool. It might actually be last weekend of March, like 30th and 31st. We should have looked at that more before I started talking about this on the podcast.
Yeah.
But stuff is opening, and, you know, we're still looking at about a month out before the first riders on Steel Vengeance. But we got a lot of other stuff that's going to be coming out really shortly here, that's going to be opening up between Wonder Woman should be opening up at Fiesta Texas like any day. Probably, I think they'll probably do media and stuff next week. So lots of RMC action about to happen between that ride, the ride at California's Adventure, which is coming along nicely, Twisted Timbers, and the new Twisted Cyclone, I think it is, over at Six Flags over Georgia. Yeah. So if you're not sick of RMC talk yet, get ready, because there's going to be so much more of it coming this year.
Yeah.
Do you know, here's a question for you.
Yeah.
I have a Cedar Point Platinum Pass.
Yes.
Cedar Fair Platinum Pass that I bought before I got laid off, because, hey, everything seemed indestructible at that point.
Yes.
Can I go to Kings Island and redeem it there, or do I have to redeem it at Cedar Point?
You have to redeem it at Cedar Point, and then once you redeem it at Cedar Point, then you can go everywhere with it. And it will you will have that season pass. It's still good all the way through the end of the Cedar Fair operating season. So if you have a Cedar Point Platinum Pass and you want to go to Kings Island Winterfest...
Or Carowinds
Winterfest... Or Canada's, or not Canada's Wonderland. They don't have one yet, but they're working on it. Or the one at Worlds of Fun, or the one that California's Great America, or King's Dominion is going to be getting Winterfest this year, too. So if you want to go to any of the Winterfests and you have a Cedar Point season pass, or a Valley Fair one for another group, or Michigan's Adventure, you know, for people that don't have park operations into November, December, you can still use your pass for that as well. So, but yeah, you do have to redeem it first at your home park. But they usually do some days where they're going to have Cedar Point or our Platinum Pass processing before the park opens. So, you know, look on their website, tweet at Tony. Tony would know. Tony Clark. I think it's like Tony Clark CP.
Yeah.
On Twitter.
Good follow.
Good dude. And, yeah, he'll be able to let you know what's up in terms of getting it processed. If only it was as easy as Six Flags.
Right?
Unfortunately, these guys ask you to, like... Actually, you know what? You should check and see if it's possible to process online. Because they... Like, I have to take a picture now and upload it every year myself.
Mm-hmm.
So, maybe they have kind of online processing. I don't know.
I'll look
into it. Six Flags, though, still, like...
I mean, like, I'm already paying my monthly
fee for
it, so why not?
Yeah.
That's how I'm looking at it. But, like, also, like, they're, like, the Cedar Fair and Six Flags background, like, purchasing process is identical. It's the same software, which leads me to believe it's going into the same data
system. Yeah.
Yeah, the same ticket management solution. They probably have the same ticket management solution at both parks.
Yeah.
I think Universal maybe even have the same one, and Busch probably has the same one.
So look into it. I honestly don't know, because I know you can link your app with your season pass now with Cedar Fair.
Yeah.
They did that last year finally, so it should be... you'd hope. If it works, we'll let everybody out there know, and then, you know, I'm sure somebody will tell us either way. If we don't get a chance to do it before the next podcast, someone will tell us, like, yeah or nay. On that one, but
yeah, because I was thinking, like, I'm gonna be in Columbus for Easter.
Yeah, if you can pop into Kings Island,
pop into Kings Island, get a ride on Mystic Timbers, Beast, Diamondback, Banshee,
yeah, Adventure Express,
yeah.
Do your comparison to Adventure Express versus Thunderation. You're like, is it better? Is it not better?
The Thunderation's better. That's not a question.
Yeah, that's true. It is. Yeah, but Thunderation's freaking awesome. So yeah, that's trying to think what else. Is there anything else that anybody would want to know? I don't know. So anyways, tweet at us and we'll answer it probably next week sometime when we get a moment.
Anything that you would do differently with the trip?
Nah, I think we hit pretty much everything that we wanted to. If there was anything that I wanted to do differently, I would have taken my migraine pill earlier in the morning on whatever day that was. Thursday, was it?
Yeah.
No, it was Friday. It's Friday when I did that. Yeah, I would have taken it earlier, and then I probably would not have had a migraine, and then maybe I could have gone to ride the SPF Visa Coaster in Hearst at whatever that crappy park's called. Or gone barbecue. I was actually really fiending for some barbecue, and we did not get any barbecue in Texas.
Yeah, the only thing I would say that we should have done differently was only if we had more time, we would have done more in Texas, and we would have done more in Memphis.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, if we had more time, then we could have done a night in Memphis.
I think would have been ideal.
Yeah.
And then we would do this drive on another day, but we were against the clock on Monday, basically.
Yeah. It's a challenge. The fact that we squeezed as much that we did in this time frame is absurd. I mean, like, I usually try to keep, like, the end point of wherever I'm going to be within about, like, 15 hours of home or so, because then it's, you know, then it's more reasonable in terms of what you can do on the way there and back. You know, in this case, I think Dallas was, like, 17 and a half hours from East Lansing. And so when you do stuff like that, you have to cut some things out. We didn't have last weekend to play around with it all because I was in Detroit with my wife. So,
and last weekend I was also busy with fraternity stuff.
Yeah, so it's not like we had those two days would have been nice to have as a little setup. But then it also would have caused us to totally change the trip around because, like, we still would have had to be in Silver Dollar City on Wednesday.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, would we have, like, zigzagged all over the place to try and get stuff done? I don't know. It worked out in the end. Like, everything worked out really well. And I certainly, like, we did really well. We did a lot of stuff. We did really cool stuff, too. So,
if we did that, I think what we would have done was we would have left, like, Saturday.
Yeah.
And then Sunday we would have done Memphis, I think.
Yeah, we probably would have basically done the trip in reverse of what we did it. And done Memphis and then gone through Arkansas and maybe spent, like, you know, two or three, like, spend a little bit of time in some of the cities that we kind of, like, raced right past, like Little Rock, maybe driven into Tunica, and, you know, spent some more time definitely in Dallas, maybe gone out to Wichita Falls or something like that, like gone a little west, maybe even gone to Oklahoma City. You know, we didn't get to do that. So, you know, I mean, there's always going to be, like, things that you could have done on any trip. And just because of the length of the amount of drives that we had, because we had some monster drives on this trip, you know, some stuff has to be spared. Some stuff has to get cut. But we basically followed our general instructions pretty well. I mean, we got, you know, like Missouri Hick Barbecue, like, we were able to hit that perfectly. The fact that we were able to get into Lambert's, you know, even though we had to wait, like, an eternity to go do it, I mean, with the time frame that we had, it worked out perfect. The only thing that we could have done that would have been slightly better, I guess, is, like, maybe we could have gone to ride the Bigfoot Drop Tower, then driven out there, and then waited, like, an hour and a half to get food. But, like,
yeah,
I mean, like, you're really, like, you're getting really ridiculous at that point in terms of, like, trying to kill yourself doing things. And we did a pretty good job on our own, you know, merits of trying to kill ourselves doing things, so... And we have to skip the world's largest golf tee and rocking chair.
And wind chime.
And wind chimes that we just passed by. So
that's this exit. So we could still do it.
We could, but yeah, we got to get...
Well, I mean, if it's the world's largest golf tee, we could probably see it from the road, right?
You'd hope so. This is, like, as flat as a pancake out here. This is pretty much the least interesting area ever. Looking out, I'm sure it's out to the right. You see if you can see anything out there.
I'll keep looking, because there's also the world's largest rocking chair. You got to see that stuff from the side of, like, the road too.
Yeah,
so it's got to be somewhere. I'm looking for it. I'm not seeing anything.
Yeah, we also didn't get a chance to cross into Kentucky for the sake of crossing into Kentucky.
I would have loved to spend more time in St. Louis besides the hot second we were there.
I think if we'd been able to get to St. Louis, go to a city museum, and then go to, like, that bar that guy told us about, that has all the pinball and basically is, like, the punk bar, and then, like, spend, like, time in downtown there, that would have been really, really sweet. But again, it's like, you know, had to get in, get out, and then drive, like, 3 hours to Fort Leonard, or St. Thomas, Fort Leonard, Wood, whatever it was called. So the sacrifices have to be made. But again, you know, we did pretty freaking awesome. So yeah, I'm happy. I'm very happy. I'm sad that the trip is over, but I'm also happy that I get to go home, see my wife, see my cat, see my house, and get ready for work.
Yeah, my trip's not over. I'm still going to Dayton to see some brothers.
Yeah,
you're still going to
Dayton, so... Yeah, and then, theoretically, like, you could get in your car tomorrow and just, like, just keep driving.
All I'm saying is I am not considering going to King's Dominion soon.
You should... there's something you could do when you get home tonight. Send an email to King's Dominion, because I think Media Day is Wednesday or Thursday. and see if you can get in.
I can't do it this week.
Can't do it this week.
I can't do it. I've already had to reschedule stuff for this trip.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna be pretty busy this coming week, and I think next week. But King's Dominion soon, Busch Gardens Williamsburg soon. But again, the thing is, like, I need to worry about, can I get my Cedar Point annual pass?
Yeah, if you can get that done.
Get that done, yeah.
At the very, like, then you could do that. And you could get Six Flags America while you're at it.
Yeah.
That should be open soon, too. So, and maybe Dorney. I think Dorney opens, like, second week of April. And the Great Adventure. And there's, like, a week and a half.
Yeah, a lot of rides. It's
monstrous.
I mean, the thing is, like, my job right now is applying for jobs.
Yeah, exactly.
So, like, but what's fun about it is, like, I can do, like, my goal is to do 40 hours a week of applying for jobs.
Yeah.
I can do that whenever I want.
Yeah.
So I'm not worried about, like, hey, I can only travel on the weekends. I'm more like, hey, I can put in four 40-hour days over a week, and one of those days can be, like, Sunday when I get back or something like that. Or I don't even have to worry about it getting back on a Sunday. I could stay there all day Sunday to close, ride stuff, and then drive back Monday.
I'm sure Ohio's going to have a thing, too, like Michigan does, where you have to basically, like, sign up on this website, and it posts all your info. Because then at that point, you're going to have, especially for you as an engineer, like, you're going to have headhunters call you. I mean, I had headhunters call me, so I'm sure you will, too. And, like, somebody's going to come forth with some sort of job offer. And then you'll be able to collect unemployment, actually, once your severance pay is out, too. So there's that. So
yeah, so that'll be soon. I have no idea what unemployment... We'll talk money afterwards. We don't need to talk money now.
Yeah, we don't need to talk money.
I have no idea how much unemployment is.
It's not that much, but you know what? It's something.
Yeah.
It's better than zero.
It's better than zero. And, you know, if it pays for my rent once a month... if it pays for my rent and my student loans,
yeah,
which it may, that all may be what it is,
yeah,
I'm more than happy with that, because then I can live on my savings and my bonds that I have.
Yeah.
So anyway, enough about money.
Yeah.
So one of the things I want to talk about is, like, people are getting interested in, by the way, we only have an hour with this app. I'm trying a new podcast recording app that lets you edit.
So how much time we got?
Oh, we got like 23 minutes. We got plenty of time.
Yeah, that's fine.
So one of the things we got is a lot of people who are more interested in doing trips like this. Cause this is a pretty normal thing for the coaster community, but usually that's people who either have done this forever or people who are new to this and all of a sudden are like, yo, I just want to go with TPR.
Yeah.
And pay an exorbitant amount of money.
Right, right.
For the privilege of ERT and having a sense of humor, I guess.
and you know, like, you know, I have a good relationship with Rob. If you want to go on TPR tours, go ahead. Like, I know Alex has gone on TPR tours. I know that Andrew's gone on TPR tours.
I know people who've gone on TPR tours and loved them.
Yeah. I mean, like, honestly, like, Rob is not going to steal your money if you go on one of his tours. Like, he's going to, he and Alyssa do work hard to make sure that people have a good time and they get lots of extras and they get ERT and they get food in places that aren't completely garbage. So, but the thing is, like, for me, I've always planned my own thing. I've done like one package tour ever. I did the European Coaster Odyssey, which is actually what inspired Rob to do his own trips. And that was like 16 years ago. I don't need the help. I have the internet is the way I approach it. And that's been the way that I've traveled, whether it's, you know, in mid-America or Peru or Southeast Asia or Eastern Europe, like that's, or the Middle East, like that's always the way I've done my thing. And, you know, there's a lot of people out there in the coaster community that do, you know, insano trips doing lots and lots of parks, and that's like normative for the hobby. Like the abnormal stories of like the people that go really hard is like my buddy Jim Raymar, who got into Ripley's Believe It or Not for doing like 453 coasters in one summer by literally living out of his car and taking baths at or taking showers at the water parks. That was at like 96 or 97. Not normative. Most people do not do that in the hobby, but you know, people like, I've been doing this since 1997.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is what I've been doing since I was literally in eighth grade. Like the first amusement park trip I ever planned, I was in eighth grade going into ninth grade. and I got a bunch of AAA books, and they used to have Rand McNally's maps for, like, a road atlas on a CD-ROM, and I printed it all off in advance, and that's how I booked my trip. And it's also why I ended up missing a whole bunch of coasters that either I had to get later, like going to Knoebels or Del Grosso's, or missed altogether. Like, I missed Americana because I didn't really know that it was a big thing. But, yeah, enough of that. So,
point well, is, yeah, well, my other point was,
yeah,
like, Rob and Alyssa, yeah, they do a great job, and yeah, they make sure people have fun, and they, you know, they, it's not a shystery kind of thing.
Yeah.
But also, they're in effect a, you know, touring agency.
Yeah, they're tour operators.
And you pay them a premium that, I mean, they're not doing this out of the goodness of their hearts.
Yeah.
Like, they're pocketing a profit.
Yeah, it's a business.
A deserved profit, I believe.
Yes.
Because it's a business, and, like, you can do, you can either, like, it's kind of the thing where people are like, either I can, like, cook my, like, I can get the recipes and go to the grocery store, or I can pay a little bit more and get Blue Apron.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of what the TPR trips are. Like, yeah. You give them, you write them a check, and it's basically you set it and forget it.
Yeah.
Or you can do what we did and worry a little bit and hem and haw, but you also squeeze out every dime you have.
Yeah, we had the total freedom to do whatever we wanted to. You know, on Monday night, we actually didn't have a hotel booked. Like, we booked it when we were in Missouri Hick Barbecue, you know? So, I'm just saying, like, it's not really that difficult. Like, you know, at this point, if you're the kind of person that worries about things on trips, like, you've got Yelp, you have TripAdvisor, you have Expedia, you've got Priceline. I mean, like, what more do you want? Like, you have all the information you ever want about making sure that you have a decent place to stay at night, and that you get the right room rate, the right kind of room, and that you eat really good food. And it takes really so little effort. I mean, it's like a couple keystrokes and you're on your way. So, you know, if you've never done stuff like this before because you're intimidated by it.
Yeah. And
that's
the first thing I'm going to ask is, like, what are some tips that you have for people who are going to plan a trip like this because they're inspired? I'll start off real quick. One of my tips that I think would have been cool if we had more time,
yeah,
is to keep more evening open for, yeah, suggestions.
Yeah.
Because, like, when we went to the City Museum, we had Joe the bartender,
yeah,
help us out and be like, hey, we, you know, I'm just listening to you guys and I'm eavesdropping, but, like, hey, there's this awesome bar, punk rock pinball bar that has, you know, stuff that I would have loved to do if we had it. But, yeah, if we booked this trip, you know, completely solid, we sort of like what we did, we would not have the chance to go do things like this.
Yeah.
Or how many things we just picked up on, like, the, like, a whim that we, yeah, just were kind of like, yeah, let's do that.
Yeah. I think the first thing is, you know, don't try to, like, overly structure it. Even if you are, as they call it in the coaster community, a credit whore, that you're somebody that, you know, coasters, really hardcore coaster enthusiasts don't call coasters coasters. At some point, they become credits. Like, it's like, somehow, if you ride enough roller coasters, like, you can somehow exchange the number of roller coasters you've gotten for some sort of, like, social or financial cachet, which is ridiculous. But, you know, don't think about purely as, like, credit runs. Like, don't go for that. Like, think about, like, a more holistic approach. And the best way to have a really holistic approach is to try and, you know, destructure as much as you possibly can, like, within reason. Like, when we were in Dallas, you know, we were able to go ahead and go to that brewery in Bedford because, and we also went to that other brew pub, that beer place in, oh, yeah, Arlington too, because, you know, we had at least a little bit of free time that we made sure to, you know, partition off and be like, okay, we're just going to, these are ideas that we have that could fill this space, but let's see how things are going. And then, you know, if you end up with more time because something sucks or something's closed or whatever, like, you can go ahead and make adjustments that way. And, you know, do a little bit of research, you know, sit there, go on TripAdvisor and see what, you know, what points of interest are in the area. Go on, just as simple as going on Google Maps and you look over, like, on the satellite view of, like, where you're going, you may see something weird and just click on it and see what it is, because you might find stuff that way that is really off the beaten path, you know, not heavily touristed, not heavily visited, but ends up being super rad.
Yeah, you can just, like, when we were driving through the middle of nowhere, Missouri, we saw, you know, like, isolated areas of civilization around highways, and we would look and see what was there.
Dude, that Italian restaurant that we went to.
Yeah, we went
the middle of nowhere, Arkansas, like stuff like that, you know, just, you know, try to keep some stuff open. And a Fayetteville, Arkansas is another place we should have spent more time in. That would have been really cool as a college town. Plus, I had Raising Cane's. But nonetheless, you know, always try to, you know, don't overly structure it. You know, don't sit there and be like, I have to be, you know, at this place at 8:10. Like, don't get to that fine a point. But, you know, have a little bit of structure, but leave some space open for yourself to be able to, like, freelance.
Yeah.
That's one major tip. Another big one, have a cooler. We've had a cooler with us the whole trip. And, you know, whether it's having beer that we brought with us and drink at the hotel rooms, or just having bottles of water in the car.
Or beer we found.
Pop, or beer that we found or was handed to us. You don't drink in the car when it's going.
Clearly.
But, you know, feel free to drink in the parking lot, in your hotel room, reasonably. We always endorse reasonable drinking habits here on Parkscope. And, but yeah, just bring, like, stuff like that. Like, you know, go buy a 12-pack of water at Walmart for $2.50, and, you know, you're good for beverages, you know, for the most part, for a couple days. And you can always go back out to the car and grab a drink when you're at the park. Because sometimes, you know, if you're going to wait 45 minutes at a food stand, you know, if you have a sandwich that's in a cooler, we didn't quite get that far to the point where we were, like, going and buying lunch and meats.
Yeah, no. I one of my things I hate are lunch meats. Like, that's a little too much for me. But, like, we had Chex Mix. We had we had Clif Bars.
Cookies. I actually ate a banana when we were at the last rest area.
Yeah, so, like, it's one of those things where if you, like, I'm not asking for you guys to have, like, because, like, when people think you bring your own food, people are thinking, like, the crazy people who have, like, roll-around coolers that have, like, a full, like, picnic in it. No, but, like, we had a cooler that had Dr. Pepper, some Mountain Energy, Rockstar Energy drinks, some bottles of water, some beer, and that's it.
Yeah, that's it.
Excuse me.
If you want to get deeper into it, you can go to a supermarket, grab some supplies for you and your family or yourself or your friends, and go wild and get, you know, good stuff. I mean, go to Whole Foods, get yourself a salad at the salad bar for $6. It's still going to be cheaper than $14.99 pizza and fry meal at Six Flags. You know what I'm saying? So all those things are out there. Like, those are things that you can do that are really reasonable. Always get a hotel program of some sort. You know, even if you don't use the points at one, you can always, like, sell the points off later on. I mean, it's really easy to do these sorts of trips. It's super fun. There's so many things to go see. Like, you know, a lot of people just get, like, hung up on all the big stuff. Like, you know, we went to the pyramid yesterday, you know, and that was crazy, but, you know,
that was something I didn't even know existed.
Yeah.
2 hours before I was in there.
So there's all sorts of stuff like that throughout the country that is super dope. And, you know, like I said, always check out my pieces because I try to highlight a lot of that stuff. But, you know, you go on RCDB for coasters. There's the National Carousel Association. They have a census with carousels, and that will show you some smaller parks. There's, you know, there's websites that list about, you know, locations of pinball. So they'll take you to really cool arcades if you want to go to those. And, you know, just go and have a blast, man. Like, there's super cool stuff everywhere. So go do it.
I would say also, like, structure your trip around the parks you want to go to.
Yeah, yeah.
But don't structure, but also find your other interests. Like, if you love baseball, which I love baseball, you know, visit some minor league parks, visit some major league parks. You can get into these places for dirt cheap or hit up their PR departments and see what's going on. Cause, like, I remember the Cleveland Indians had a social media thing, like a social media, like suite that I got into once. And one of the things was, like, we had people who were just traveling the country who got in there cause they just submitted to them and they're like, yeah, we're hitting all, you know, whatever.
Doing ballpark trip.
Yeah. Doing the ballpark trip. We're hitting all 26 baseball teams in major leagues. I think it's 26.
I thought it was 32.
32? Maybe it's 32. I forget.
Or 30, one of those. It's
yeah.
number now.
It's yeah, it's 4 or 5 per division. Yeah, I think it's 32. Yeah. Or no, 32 or 25. I don't remember. We'll figure it
it's
out.
It's a lot, yeah.
It's maybe a lot.
28.
Yeah.
Somewhere around there.
Yeah. High 20s.
Yeah.
So
high 20s, low 30s.
So like they said, we're gonna hit all those, you know, parks. And the Indians were like, they scheduled them in. So drop those people a line, see if there's anything they can do, like saying, like, hey, I'm doing a trip. As Alan said, the worst thing they could say is no.
Yeah, that's so, the worst thing that can happen.
So, like, we could have dropped Six Flags Texas a line, but, like, they were super packed.
Yeah, I don't think they would have been... I don't think they needed our PR for this week. But, you know, like, we probably... If we had more time, like, we probably could have contacted someone like the folks at AT&T Stadium or Globe Life Ballpark and said, hey, can we do a tour? You know, we're going around the country doing, you know, touristy things. We might have even been able to get into, like, the Legoland Discovery Center in Grapevine if we had done that. But, you know, whatever. It's okay.
Yeah. And then another thing was that, you know, structure around the thing, as I was saying before, structure around the things you like.
Yeah.
So for us, it was breweries.
Yeah.
And beer. So we made sure to check out whatever breweries or beer places were in the area as we were traveling. And some of them, you know, had, like, I remember there was one that looked awesome, but was closed on Monday when we were traveling through the area, which sucked. But, you know, like, keep an eye out for these things. And, like, if you like baseball, do that. If you love breweries, do it. If you love pinball, do it.
Love baseball. I mean, like, if you like, you know, there's, as long as you have, like, some sort of interest outside of, like, a really finite, defined single item, like, there's tons of stuff around that. Like, if you're a coaster person and you like baseball, or an amusement park person and you like baseball, like, for instance, the minor league team that plays over in Quad Cities in Illinois, they have a kiddie coaster now. And a lot of other, like, independent league or minor league teams have rides in their stadiums. Like carousels, like, or even, like, Tiger Stadium has a Ferris wheel and a carousel, for instance. Or not Tiger Stadium, but Comerica Park for the Detroit Tigers. And I think, I want to say there's also a Ferris wheel, definitely a slide over at San Francisco Giants ballpark. But just like, just, you know, look at the things, like the core things that you're interested in. And then if you have other interests as well, which hopefully you do, hopefully you're a well-rounded person like that, mix them in, go to an art museum, go to a national history museum, go to a national park, go to a historic site, you know, go for a hike, whatever. I mean, there's just do it, just go out and do it. Like, and it, stuff like that, like going to a museum or a zoo. Like, if you're into themed entertainment and you don't go to zoos on a frequent basis, like, you're kind of missing out because they're, like, the cheapest, best themed entertainment that there is in the country. Oftentimes with really, like, weird and unique rides and attractions. We talked about going to the Dallas Zoo, which we did not get a chance to, but they have, like, this crazy monorail ride that's a mile long, goes past the animal enclosures. You know, stuff like that that you may not know about being there. Or sky rides, like how there's a Von Roll sky ride, like the ones that used to be at Disney. That there's one at San Diego Zoo, for instance. So just, you know, look out for stuff like that and, you know, have a good time.
Yeah. Trying to think if there's any other tips, tricks. We got about 7 more minutes, so.
Yeah.
Trying to think if there's anything else, really. Just make sure that you have a good data plan.
Yeah.
Because, like, I was using my laptop with my cell phone with a tethering. We were listening to the basketball games. Make sure you have podcasts or music you can listen to, all that sort of stuff. Waze is amazing.
Waze is great.
Waze is great. It gets you around traffic, so make sure you use Waze. Because I think there's been some talk about if Waze is, like, the best GPS. But it's definitely the best, I believe, if you're doing long-distance traveling.
Mm-hmm.
Because it'll redirect you and all that stuff. Like, in a city, different discussion. But, you know, like this, I think it's Waze all the way. Trying to think what else. Just be open.
Be open. The big thing about travel in general is always to be open to new experiences. And, you know, I more often than not, my Twitter account than I want to, kind of like invoke the words of UFC pseudo great Nick Diaz by saying, don't be scared, homie. like the truth is none of us on Twitter, even most of us with blue check marks, are not that valuable or interesting enough to be a target to anybody. And no matter where you go, no matter, you know, even if it's a fairly sketchy looking place, like, the reality is, unless you want to make yourself a target, unless you want to be a jerk, you know, you're gonna do just fine. Like, everything's gonna be totally okay. So don't get scared because it's something that's new or different, or, you know, if you live in the lily white suburbs and that's all you've ever known, you know, just because there's people of color around, you know, it's not bad. Like, you're not, there's no danger. Like, this is just go out, go do stuff. And, like, it's just, everybody's like a human being. Everyone's cool. Just be cool and everyone be cool back to you. It's that simple. I said it before yesterday. I say it again. Just be cool. If you're cool with people, people will be cool back, and you're going to get a lot out of the experience, and you'll get to learn a lot about other people. You'll get to experience a lot of, you know, people are going to, you know, give you, like, there all sorts of insight, like, we never heard about. Like, we were talking to the bartender yesterday at the Pyramid, and she was talking about how her mom lived in West Texas for a little while, and, you know, the family had always been from Arkansas, and when they went to West Texas, like, the kids in school were like, oh, do you guys wear shoes? Like, do you have shoes? Like, we always heard that people in Arkansas don't have shoes. And it's just, like, so funny to think of, like, people in West Texas, like, looking down on people from Arkansas as if, like, they're remarkably different, when, like, the average viewpoint of, like, your coastal elite is that they're basically equivalent human beings. So you get to hear, like, you just get to hear stuff like that when you get to interact with real people. And, freaking, like, it's rad. It's good. And go have a good time and be rad, and be rad to other people.
Yeah, I think that's a good philosophy. I think we're closing out.
Yeah.
We're in Indiana now. I just saw the sign.
Yeah. If you want to hear me talk about Juarez, El Paso, etc., I've been promising it all week. We still haven't done it, but I'm going to try and do it this week, along with Alex and I, Coaster Spotting on Twitter, when we talk about King's Dominion. We're going to try and get that one in as best we can. But we're going to get there. You're going to hear all about Western Playland, folks. The number one amusement park in Sunland, New Mexico.
Oh, boy. I can hardly wait. Anyway, for Alan, this is Joe signing off from our trip. We'll get this up tonight sometime. Go listen to everything else again, and please drop us any questions you have about the trip, and we'll answer them on the next episode.
You can follow us at Gods on Safari on Twitter for me, Joe.
I'm Parkscope Joe. Don't follow me because I'm locked right now because I'm applying for jobs.
But
yeah, follow Parkscope. We're good. We're good company.
And check out all the pieces on Parkscope.com.
Yeah, fave our jokes, retweet them. That'd be great too.
Yeah.
I should probably write more for Parkscope now that I'm unemployed. That'd be good.
Yeah, that's not a bad
thing.
Idea.
Not a bad idea to get some of my articles I've been planning to get out for a while.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll see you guys later. Peace.
Fuck with us, you fuck with the truth, we speak openly.
Never a rat like Donnie Brasco though, cause ain't no hoe in me.
Notice me, senpai, they cry when I choke the speak. Set this crooked city on fire to light the smokery.
Okay.
Hello everyone, we're doing an addendum, because we just came up with something. We love the RMC coasters so much that they kind of stole the show, I would say.
Yeah.
So the problem with that is that I think there's already been a little bit of a backlash with RMC.
Which is hilarious to me. Like, oh my God, they build rides that are too good.
Yeah, so it's sort of like the, I don't know, backlash to the good things that are crazy good that people are like, I'm super educated and an intellectual and on another level because the good thing is actually not good.
It's like it's worse to me for people to hate on RMC than it is to like call things sports ball. it's so ridiculous. Like, if you know what RMC is and you can tell the difference between RMC and a different ride, and you're like, I don't like RMC, like, you're trying way too hard. Like, you totally need to like step back from the hobby and reassess your life decisions.
Yes. So
yeah.
Based on that, we decided we're going to come up with our top five rides that we did this trip that are not RMC.
Yeah.
So that removes two of the rides from the list.
Yeah, it takes away Texas Giant and Outlaw Run, which are automatically going to be in the top
so
five.
So I can't rank them because if I rank them, it's going to take another 10 minutes to figure this out.
Yeah.
So I would probably say, based on what we went through, counting everything that we rode, so I would count everything from the putt-putt tram
thing
we had
putt-putt tram.
To like the Segways.
Yeah.
I would count everything on that list. I would say, just looking back at it, I would say the... I'm trying to figure out one of the Branson mountain coasters needs to be on there. I'm not sure if that's Branson Coaster or the Runaway.
I'm going to go with Runaway.
Runaway?
Runaway is actually Runaway. Going to make my list. Yeah.
I would say... I'm so torn on it that I would...
It's really competitive because they're both really good. But I think Runaway, because it's so wild, I have to go with Runaway.
Yeah, and Runaway would be so much better if it wasn't ADG.
Yeah, if it was a Wyglid and it had the same exact layout and the same exact braking system and the rest of it, it would be even better because it would be smoother and faster, like just minimally faster, but enough to be even greater.
And we wouldn't have to worry about that slow ass kid and his dad in front of me, like braking constantly. Yeah. So I had to like, fuck, I hated that so much because the guy's like, keep going. I'm like, I can't. It stops me because this dad's an idiot. Anyway, sorry. Number two, Time Traveler.
Time Traveler.
Unquestionably Time Traveler. I've been reading some reviews on it, and people say, hey, it's not many airtime hills. Well, no fucking shit. It's a spinning coaster, Mac
it goes
coaster.
Upside down. Yeah, I don't understand all the negativity about the ride. It's super fun.
It's not like Shockwave with or Titan, which has a ton of positive Gs. It's not like... the RMCs, which just have painful ejector airtime. I don't think it's painful, but that's just me.
Yeah.
But the idea of going through a loop sideways is super cool.
It's super cool.
There's a lot of different stuff. It doesn't feel like a coaster. I think that's what makes it special. It doesn't feel like a coaster.
I'll say this, like a lot of people, I've seen some people bag on the theming, saying like the first main set of cues on the first floor, they're like, oh, it's kind of a normal switchback. And I'm like, first of all, every park has like normal switchbacks, including Disney and Universal. Secondly, like they did theme it. Like it looks like something is there. It doesn't have as much of the story elements as when you get upstairs, but like, Christ, what do you want? Like, do you expect interactive screens with video games at every single park all the time? Like, you have a phone. Like, I don't know. Like, I like the queue. I like the ride. I like the theming. I'm really happy with Time Traveler.
Yeah, Time Traveler number two. Number three, I'm thinking of, because I'm not sure if that needs to be... So I would put number three as Powder Keg.
Powder Keg's so good.
Because Powder Keg is so unique.
Yeah.
Like, you can get... Like, Wildfire's great because, hey, it's...
B&M.
It's a beautiful view. But, it's a very short B&M.
Yeah.
It's really just kind of the loop, Cobra Roll... Corkscrew, like
the standard inversion.
Yeah,
you know? It's not bad. It's good.
And then Brake Run.
There's Thunderation.
Thunderation is very much a, I mean, it's a very good, very fun, mine train. But I mean, the Six Flags Over Texas mine train's also very good.
Yeah. Then you also have like Flooded Mine. You've got Fire in the Hole. I guess for me, I'm going to go... Like, I thought about Powder Keg, too, because I really like Powder Keg a lot.
It's just so different. It's so weird and unique, and there's no other Powder Keg.
I'm going to go... since we're whittling this down to five, I'm going to have a boat dark ride in there to please the theme park nerds. And of my boat dark rides I'm going to pick Yosemite Sam's.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
I think it's really fun. It's very cool. It's very unique in terms of the boat style. Like, the only other one that was like it was the St. Louis ride, which is now a Justice League. The vast majority of the stuff in there was working. You don't have to shoot a gun. It's just, you know, it's scenes with, you know, fairly basic animatronics. But it's a fun family ride. And it's totally unique and totally different for a Six Flags park. You know, they just don't have rides like that, Adam.
So, my next ride I'll pick, not RMC. I'm thinking if there's anything else at Silver Dollar City I want to add onto that list. Because the mine will not count. I mean, the caves won't count.
Yeah, can't
count the caves because it's not a ride.
Yeah, it's a cave.
I'm not even going to count the tram that goes up.
Yeah.
So what else did we do? I mean, we did the. So I would say. See, my brain's working now, really overtime, because I could count, you know, Flooded Mine.
Yeah, Flooded Mine's really good. I mean, and talk about unique. Like, oh my god, it's like a, it's got like a 5-boat trailer of like a, like one boat like after another, like 5 boats trailered, 5 people apiece, with these old aluminum guns with the readout on top that you shoot at, like this old school dark ride from the 70s, and which is a huge dark ride, and it goes on forever. That could have easily been a pick. I just picked Yosemite Sam because there's no guns on it.
I would say then my next one is Pandemonium.
Wow. Okay.
Because I think of the rides that we rode, that one was one of the more fun and unique ones.
Yeah.
It was definitely the crazier spinning coasters, but I really liked it for some odd reason. I don't know why. I don't know how. But there was something about the forces and how it was just changing every ride that I thought was super fun and super cool.
Yeah.
And I think that, how many, is this my third or fourth pick?
That's your fourth pick.
My fourth pick? Okay, that's my fourth pick. What's your fourth pick?
I'm going Shockwave.
Shockwave?
I love Shockwave. I don't know anybody out there in the scene that doesn't love Shockwave. It's old school as hell on one hand. On the other hand, you know, it's got these super powerful loops at the start. And then you end up with airtime hills at the end where, depending on the back seat or front seat, wherever you're sitting, you know, the pull or the launch over those hills is very different. Lap bars and I think a single seat belt that you share only. I love Shock. I could ride Shockwave all day long. I love it. Great ride.
Yeah.
So number five.
My number five, I'm debating if I go Shockwave or I do something unique. I kind of want to aim for unique.
Go ahead.
So I'm thinking Titan.
Titan was so good.
Like, I rode Goliath at Six Flags Magic Mountain, and I was incredibly unimpressed.
Yeah.
But I believe that reason was because we were still in the sort of late 2000s B&M push, where everything was a freaking B&M hyper with at max airtime, and you're going out and in no out and back designs, you know, Diamondback, a polished chariot, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And this was not that at all.
No.
And I think some of the turns and stuff like that, I appreciate more now after RMC came out. So I would put Titan, and I was way more impressed by that attraction than I remember being originally. So Titan, I'd put on there. So what's your number five, Alan?
My number five, I was thinking Titan as a strong possibility. I was also thinking about the heavy metal high-rise go-kart track that we did.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a dark horse.
Yeah, you know, and it helped that I had the, basically, like, the Formula One of the go-karts that was out there. And it was just, like, absolutely blowing past everybody and doing stupid moves. God. Titan. I want to say on a philosophical level that it's going to be the pretzel at Sandy Lake, but I can't do it. It's not that good a ride. Sorry.
Yeah, I was thinking about that too, but like I'm thinking, hey, that was more of a historical artifact that was cool than it was quality.
Yeah, it's like seeing like a really cool old car in a museum from like 1908, and you're like, wow, it's a really cool old car, but like you wouldn't want to replace your current car with that car. You know what I'm saying? That's how I feel about that. But I also don't want it to go away. Like, I want to be lovingly restored as it is and kept operational for future generations. So, the my number five, God, Titan, Mr. Freeze. Tell you what, I'm going to go unique. I'm going to go unique. As much as I want to go with those, I'm going to go with the one ride on this trip that actually made me feel something physically in terms of that ride, like not just airtime or positive G's, but like, well, I guess lots of positive G's. So Catwoman's Whip, which, man, that thing is a positive G monster. And really Six Flags, as far as what the flat rides that they've been picking to put in, has been picking winners. That, the Discovery, the Sky Screamer, and now, of course, the other new flat ride that they're getting from ABC Rides in Switzerland. All in that tight space that used to be a boomerang, and now that area can probably put through 2,500 people an hour with big things that they can market. I really like that ride a lot. It's the first one I've ever seen. There's not very many of them out there, and I'm going to go Catwoman's Whip.
Nice. That was up there, too, with me. One last question.
Yeah.
What would you say are the three most disappointing rides? Like, considering that everything is, like, on the same level going into it.
Yeah.
Like, we all have the same hype level. And everything that we just listed was on the top of that list. What would you say is the stuff that's the most disappointing from on this trip? And it could be anything that we rode. So it has to be a ride itself.
Yeah, sure. I think I'm going to go number one. I think we both agree that Justice League was disappointing. Probably, you know, more so for Joe than me, because at least I've had, like, a positive Justice League experience at a different park. And this one was really middling. I would say, three disappointing rides.
I'll do my next one.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm actually going to do Justice League also.
Yeah.
Because I think that's how much work it needs, and that's how disappointed I was in it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you're seeing the Sally hype so much.
Yeah.
Talking about Justice League. Like, if all these are different rides, you got to improve them all or something. I don't know. But I still want to ride the newer one in Magic Mountain, or watch a ride through or something. But it just was really disappointing, and that's I think one right there.
Yeah, I think I'm going to include the rides that we didn't get on too, because I can. Joker, because it never opened.
That's fair.
I'm not even like a huge fan necessarily of the SNS Free Flies, but they're not bad rides. They're definitely better than the Intamin versions, like a million times better. And plus, it would have been nice for Joe to get on it and for me to get on it, because it would have been a new credit. So I missed on a credit.
So my second one was the spinning coaster at the pizza place, mainly because we rode so many better spinning coasters.
Yeah.
And I understand that this was cheap and we got free rides on it, and it's an indoor coaster and it's a power. Even then, it's just like,
it is what it is.
It, like, as you were saying before, credits, you're looking at coasters as credits.
Yeah.
Like, this was a credit.
This was pure credit. There was nothing. It was actually like the second SBF Visa coaster I'd been on in a row, because the previous coaster I'd been on that was new to me, was the one at El Paso's Western Playland. So, you know, they're better than like, okay, I'll put it this way. It's better than Little Dipper that we rode at Sandy Lake, right?
Yeah.
It's less embarrassing than that. Like, at least it spins. But at the end of the day, when you get down to it, it's a spinning kids coaster in a pizza place in like St. Louis. So,
yeah,
you know, it is what it is.
What's your number two?
Oh, well, I had Justice League and I had Joker.
Oh, Joker. What's your number three?
My number three. What is my number three? Wait, having like, it's tough, because the thing is, like, everything that we rode at Silver Dollar City for the most part was really good,
mm-hmm.
and everything we rode, most of the stuff we rode at Six Flags was really good.
I would just say disappointing.
Disappointing,
or like the bottom of the list or something. I don't know.
Bottom of the list. I hate to say, like, maybe Runaway Mountain at Six Flags Over Texas, because it has a long wait. And it kind of sort of is, like, it's based around a production model coaster from SD or SBC or SBNC or whoever it is. And like the effects there, there's like a video screen that was left on like the default for the computer. Like, someone had to hit reset or hit play or something, because it looked ridiculous. But even that, like, it had better restraints than I remembered. It didn't have U-bars anymore. It had T-bars, and it has a couple of really good drops and turns and stuff in it. So I don't hate it.
Well, I mean, we're just talking disappointment.
Yeah.
I think that's a fair one.
Yeah.
I think that's really...
And the outdoor water feature with the waterfall
totally off.
Working. Yeah, totally off. Which otherwise, you know, the other theming that was in there was actually pretty good.
Yeah. I would probably say that too. I think that's a fair one to put on there. But yeah, they're all good coasters, Brent. Yeah, anyway, that's our addendum. So there you go. We just spent 60 more minutes with these people's time.
Yeah.
So
hopefully you enjoyed that. And if not, subscribe and like to somebody else.
Yeah, right?